any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm going to explain today why it appears to me that the war with Russia, which the Democrats seem to be enthusiastic about, which NATO seems eager to undertake, is very likely, increasingly likely to occur, and that the consequences are going to be devastating. If the Biden administration wanted a distraction from COVID and inflation and the massive border, invasion, they're going to have it, I think, in spades now. I'm going to offer several reports and explain why I believe the situation is spinning out of control. First of all, the fear is the Moskva warship was carrying nuclear weapons when it sank. Russia's Black Sea flagship, which sank a couple of days ago after an explosion on board, may have been carrying nuclear warheads. Analysts and experts have warned, as a Russian politician said, more than 400 sailors may have gone down with the ship. The Moskva, a Soviet-era guided missile cruiser, sank near the port of Sevastopol Thursday after Ukraine said it hit the ship with two cruise missiles. Today, Mihailo Seimas, director of a Lviv-based military think tank, Andrei Kamenko, editor of Black Sea News and Ukrainian newspaper Defense Express, all warned that Moskva could have been carrying two nuclear warheads designed to be fitted to its P-1000 carrier killer missiles. If true, the loss of the warheads into the Black Sea could spark a broken arrow incident. American military slang for potentially lethal accidents involving military weapons. On board the Moskva would be nuclear warheads, two units, Samus said, but Klemenko called on other Black Sea nation, Turkey, Romania, Georgia, and Bulgaria to insist on an explanation. Where are those warheads? Where were they when the ammunition exploded? Meanwhile, Ilya Ponovrev, a politician expelled from Russia for opposing Putin's 2014 annexation of Crimea, which, of course, as I've explained many times, was in accordance with international law, involved a referendum of the people of Crimea who wanted to rejoin Russia, said just 58 of the 510-strong crew have since been accounted for, raising a prospect 452 men went down with a ship in what would be a bitter loss for Vladimir Putin's already beleaguered army. Now, personally, I believe the Russians and Ukraine are operating on their agenda that the reports are getting about they're running out of food, ammo, and all this are simply nonsense Western propaganda. But the sinking of this ship is a big deal. The figure, while unconfirmed, is consistent with losses suffered on exploding warships in the past. During the Russian Navy's infamous defeat at the Battle of Tsushima against Japan, an explosion on board the Borodino, slightly smaller than the Moskva, saw all but one of her 855 crew killed. Russia claims all the Moskva sailors were successfully evacuated, but video taken in Sevastopol shows dozens of cars purportedly belonging to sailors still parked in the port, suggesting their owners had not returned to collect them because they were unable to do so. It looks as though even Russia is saying the Moskva sank after a fire and explosion on board, but Ukraine claims it was caused when struck by two of its Neptune cruise missiles fired by a coastal battery. Aside from providing Ukraine with a propaganda victory, Moskva's sinking also has practical implications for Russia. As flagship, the vessel was likely tasked with coordinating the movements of other ships in the Black Sea, which may cause further confusion among Russia's already strained command structure. Its role was also to provide cover for Russia's other ships using its anti-air missiles while they launch cruise missile attacks against cities and military sites. Its loss will make them more vulnerable to Ukrainian strikes, including by fast jets or drones. As news came in of the explosion, weather conditions in the Black Sea were reported to be poor, raising questions of whether it could stay afloat if it were severely damaged by the explosion and had been evacuated. It also comes days after British Prime Minister Boris Johnson met with Ukraine's President Zelensky in Kiev and vowed to send Ukraine 120 armored vehicles and new anti-ship missile system to help with a battle against Russia. Russian news agencies said the Moskva was armed with 16 anti-ship Vulcan cruise missiles with a range of at least 440 miles. Interfax did not give more details about the incident. In April of 2021, the agency quoted a retired Russian admiral as saying, "This is the most serious ship in the Black Sea." Meanwhile, Russian state TV, note the source, Russian state TV is declaring World War III has begun after the sinking of the Moskva. On another state-run television channel, the Russian anchor argued that Ukraine was doing the West bidding. I don't think there's any room for doubt about it. Russian state television has declared World War III has already started after the sinking of its naval vessel Moskva in the Ukraine war. While Russia said it was damaged after a fire, Ukraine claimed credit for destroying the flagship through its Neptune missile. But the sinking of the ship led to meltdown on the Kremlin's propaganda mouthpiece, Russia One. Presenter, that would be anchor, Olga Skabeya made the chilling statement informing the viewers that if it's escalated into what can safely be called World War III, what it's escalated into can safely be called World War III, and insisted that's entirely for sure. Now we're definitely fighting against NATO infrastructure, if not NATO itself. We need to recognize that, Skabeya said further. A guest on the show compared the sinking of the Moskva to an attack on Russian soil, despite Kremlin insisting it went down because of a fire. The man was reminded that instead of calling it a war, the government-approved phrase to be used for Russia's invasion of Ukraine is special military operation. Yes, Putin's been rather emphatic about that. Meanwhile, the warship was hit by missiles about 65 nautical miles south of Odessa in the Black Sea. On April 12th, a ship with similar dimensions and features was seen about 75 nautical miles from Odessa. So I think there's really no doubt about what's going on. They are poking the bear, pardon the pun, but in this case, the NATO bear. A Twitter user commented, "They've lost 500 tanks, another 2,000 other vehicles, 82 aircraft, 18,000 soldiers in a battle cruiser. NATO hasn't even arrived yet." It is fair to say that this war against NATO is not going well for Russia, another Twitter user tweeted. On another state-run television channel, an anchor argued Ukraine was doing the West bidding by carrying out yet more provocations, bloody, horrible, completely unthinkable. Alessia Losiva, host of the Procots on Channel 1, said the West was now supplying zillions of weapons to Ukraine, about which there is no really serious room for doubt. 124 comments. Meanwhile, Russian news agency reported late Thursday that the warship sank in rough weather while being towed back to port. Meanwhile, in a Stars and Stripes, no less, this is a publication for the Armed Forces of the United States, April 15th, Russia warns U.S. to stop arming Ukraine. Russia this week sent a formal diplomatic note, let me emphasize, a formal diplomatic note to the United States warning that U.S. and NATO shipments of the most sensitive weapon systems to Ukraine were adding fuel to the conflict there and could bring unpredictable consequences. The Russians act in accordance with propriety, diplomatic relations, international law. I've got to tell you, the Russians in this scenario are the good guys. The West, including the U.S., perhaps even especially the bad. The diplomatic démarche, a copy of which was reviewed by the Washington Post, came as President Biden approved a dramatic expansion in the scope of weapons being provided to Ukraine, an $800 million package, including a 155 military howitzers, a serious upgrade in long-range artillery to match Russian systems, coastal defense drones and armored vehicles, as well as additional portable anti-air and anti-tank weapons and millions of rounds of ammunition. How much more of an accomplice could we be to Ukraine in all of this? Russia cannot allow this to stand. The United States has also facilitated the shipment to Ukraine of long-range air defense systems, including Slovakia's shipment of Russian-manufactured Soviet-era S-300 launchers, on which Ukrainian forces have already been trained. On the basis of other reports, I believe the Russians have already taken them out before they even were in the hands of the Ukrainians. In exchange, the administration announced last week the United States is deploying a Patriot missile system to Slovakia and consulting with Slovakia on long-term replacement. Shipment of the weapons, the first wave of which U.S. officials said would arrive in Ukraine within days, follows an urgent appeal to Biden from Ukrainian President Zelensky, as Russian forces were said to be mobilizing for a major assault on eastern Ukraine's Donbass region and along the coastal strip connecting with Russian-occupied Crimea in the south. Russian troops have largely withdrawn from much of the northern part of the country, including around the capital, Kiev, following what this report claims were humiliating defeats by the Ukrainian military and local resistance forces, but I don't believe that for a second. What the Russians are telling us privately is precisely what we've been telling the world publicly, that the massive amount of assistance that we've been providing our Ukrainian partners is proving extraordinarily effective, said a senior administration official who spoke on the condition of anonymity about the sensitive diplomatic document. Well, suppose it's true that the massive amount of assistance we've been providing our Ukrainian partners, how is Ukraine a partner to the United States? Tell me. Ukraine's not a part of NATO. Ukraine is not an ally of the United States. This is ludicrous. This is a failure to be in contact with reality. Providing a massive amount of assistance that is proving extraordinarily effective has got to piss off the Russians. This is improper interference. And it's this that I predict is going to lead to World War III. Russia has to defend itself against this outside intervention by NATO nations. The war, in my opinion, is of necessity going to expand. Of necessity, and the West will have provoked it. Go back and read Putin's statement of February 24th, published on my blog, describing the West as an empire of lies. Vladimir Putin speaks the truth. Joe Biden, Boris Johnson, Emmanuel Macron, they're world-class liars. World-class liars. The whole situation in terms of the West is completely despicable. But the Western nations, especially Americans, are so besieged with propaganda, they have a hard time figuring out which end is up. The State Department declined to comment on the contents of the two-page diplomatic note or any U.S. response. Let me add, I'm quite sure the Russian did not mince words and told them emphatically that they cannot predict the consequences if they continue to send the weapons, but they are continuing to send the weapons, and therefore there will be unexpected consequences. Russian experts suggested Moscow, which has labeled weapon convoys coming into the country as legitimate military targets, but has not thus far attacked them, may be preparing to do just that. I have no doubt they're going to. They have targeted supply depots in Ukraine itself, where some of these supplies have been stored, said George Beebe, former director of Russia analysis at CIA and Russia advisor to former Vice President Dick Cheney. He was a very serious, evil dude. The real question is, do they go beyond attempting to target the weapons on Ukrainian territory, try to hit the supply convoys themselves, or perhaps the NATO countries on the Ukrainian periphery that serve as transfer points for the U.S. supplies? I think for a certainty they're going to hit the supply convoys. And whether or not they have to hit the transfer points for U.S. Supplies is a good question. If Russian forces stumble in the next phase of the war as they did in the first, then I think the chances that Russia targets NATO supplies on NATO territory go up considerably. There's been an assumption on the part of a lot of us in the West that we can supply the Ukrainians really without limits and not bear significant risk of retaliation from Russia, he said. I think the Russians want to send a message here that that's not true. I guarantee you it is not true. The diplomatic note was dated Tuesday. As word first leaked of the new arms package, it brought the amount of U.S. military aid provided to Ukraine since February 24th to $3.2 billion, according to Pentagon spokesman John Kirby. In a public announcement Wednesday, Biden said it would include new capabilities tailored to the wider assault we expect Russia to launch in eastern Ukraine. The document, titled On Russia's Concerns in the Context of Massive Supplies of Weapons and Military Equipment to the Kiev Regime, written in Russian with a translation provided, was forwarded to the State Department by the Russian Embassy in Washington. This is all in accord with proper international diplomatic protocol. What is not is the U.S. intervening here on behalf of Ukraine, calling it a partner when it's nothing like that. The American people are being just boonswoggled into false beliefs about what the hell is going on here. Zelensky is a neo-Nazi. Ukraine is a den of iniquity and corruption, child trafficking, sex trafficking, the bio labs. We have four sons of prominent Republicans who are prominent Democrats who are involved in corrupt activities in Ukraine. Nancy Pelosi's son, Joe Biden's son, about which we've heard so much, John Kerry's son, and then Mitt Romney, who's a Republican in name only. All four of them are making vast sums of money through corrupt deals in Ukraine. No wonder they are supporting the Ukrainians. They don't want the gravy train to be cut off. The Russian embassy did not respond to requests for comment. Among the items Russia identified as most sensitive were multiple launch rocket systems, although the U.S. and its NATO allies are not believed to have supplied those weapons to Ukraine. Russia accused the allies of violating rigorous principles governing the transfer of weapons to conflict zones, which undoubtedly is going on here, and even blatantly, and of being oblivious to the threat of high-precision weapons falling into the hands of radical nationalist extremists and bandit forces in Ukraine. It accused NATO of trying to pressure Ukraine to abandon sputtering and so far unsuccessful negotiation with Russia in order to continue the bloodshed. Washington, it said, was pressuring other countries to stop any military and technical cooperation with Russia and those with Soviet-era weapons to transfer them to Ukraine. We call on the United States and its allies to stop the irresponsible militarization of Ukraine, which implies unpredictable consequences for regional and international security, the note said. Andrew Weiss, a former National Security Council director for Russia, Ukrainian, and Eurasian Affairs, and now vice president for studies at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, recalled that Russian President Vladimir Putin, in a speech on the February morning of the invasion, warned that Western nations would face consequences greater than any you have faced in history if they became involved in the conflict. That was back on February 24th. Didn't anybody read it? Attention at the time focused on Putin's reminder that Russia possesses a powerful nuclear arsenal, Weiss said, but it was also a very explicit warning about not sending weapons into a conflict zone. Having drawn a red line, he asked, are the Russians now inclined to back that up? Does anyone have a serious doubt about it? Such an attack would be a very important escalatory move, first and foremost, because it represents a threat to the West if they aren't able to keep supplies flowing into Ukraine, which by extension might diminish Ukraine's capacity for self-defense. Remember, Ukraine is not a member of NATO. It was indeed the threat of making Ukraine a member of NATO that precipitated this. Putin had longstanding concerns since a 2014 coup there. Ukraine had been shelling the Russian-speaking people of the Donbass and Luhansk areas. It had cost thousands and thousands of deaths. It was continuously and ongoing. They were conducting these bio labs, even with genetic research, it appears, to target those who are genetically Russian. That risk, he said, shouldn't be downplayed, noting the added risk of an attempt to strike a convoy inside Ukraine could go awry over the border into NATO territory. Senior U.S. defense officials remain concerned about the possibility of such attacks. I guarantee you they're going to take place. We don't take any movement of weapons and systems going into Ukraine for granted, Kirby said Thursday, not on any given day. Kirby said Ukrainian troops bringing the weapons into Ukraine after the U.S. brings them into the region, and the less we say about that, the better. Meanwhile, get this. British SAS soldiers are training troops on Ukrainian territory. The British Special Forces soldiers are training Ukrainians in Kiev on how to use NLAW anti-tank weapons. Ukrainian commanders told The Times that soldiers from Britain's Special Air Service, SAS, are training Ukrainian troops in Kiev on how to use anti-tank weapons provided by London. According to the accounts of the commanders, the British troops arrived in Kiev about 2 weeks ago to begin the training on next-generation light anti-tank weapons, known as NLAWs. The UK started sending NLAWs to Ukraine shortly after Russia invaded on February 24th. The revelation of the SAS training mission is the first report of a NATO member having a military presence in Ukraine since Russia invaded, and it could risk provoking Moscow. Oh, really? You think? In a diplomatic letter to the U.S. last week, Russia warned NATO to stop arming Ukraine, and Russian officials have said U.S. and NATO vehicles transporting weapons inside the country would be considered legitimate military targets. The British Ministry of Defense would not confirm the training mission, citing its position on not commenting on special operations. Since 2014, the U.S. and its NATO allies have sent troops to Ukraine for training, but they were withdrawn in February before the invasion. Captain Yuriy Myroyenko, one of the Ukrainian commanders who spoke with the Times, said the London training was necessary since new recruits and retaining veterans had no experience with the in-laws. British officers were here 2 weeks ago in our unit, and they trained us really good, he said. Last week, the U.S. announced an additional $800 million in military aid for Ukraine, including in the package for the first time are 155-millimeter howitzers and advanced radar system the Pentagon plans to train Ukrainian troops on how to use. Rather than send U.S. troops into Ukraine, the training is expected to happen in a NATO country in Eastern Europe. This is very, very bad. Meanwhile, listen to this. Musk satellites are being used to give operational intelligence to Ukraine, and Russia is now going to target Musk's system of satellites. Check it out. Listen to this.
Viewers, we have a big update to do with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russia has just announced war on Elon Musk's SpaceX Starlink constellation, and in the same fell swoop, it has accepted that its missile frigate, the Moskva, which went down in the Black Sea, was in fact taken down by enemy fire, not a fire on its deck. This is a two-part story coming out of Russia. We have Natasha and Shivangi joining us with more on this. Natasha, tell us more. The Starlink satellites, I believe, were used to orchestrate the firing on the Russian flagship that went down in the Black Sea, and now a war has been launched on this starship, Starlink cluster, isn't it?
Ankit, now, first admission, by the way, Russia admitting here that Moskva was indeed shot down, and by using Starlink satellite. So now they've admitted that, first of all, there was an attack on the Moskva. Earlier, remember, Ankit, they were saying that it was a victim to a storm while it was being taken to a port. But now this admission has come by Russia itself, saying that Starlink satellite was used to bring down Moskva, the flagship ship. And now here we have Russia also declaring that they will, in fact, wage a war against Elon Musk. Here, if I can quote Dmitry Medvedev, he has said, Russia is not engaged in the militarization of outer space, but it will not allow others to do it as well. He also
Stand by. We'll be right back after this break.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have an unusual situation here where Elon Musk is participating actively by providing actionable intelligence to the Ukrainians, which is a very, very serious problem. That makes him a participant in the war, in my judgment. As a former Marine Corps officer, I think this is very bad for Elon Musk. And as you just heard, his satellites are being targeted as weapons of war. Meanwhile, right here at home, he's acting like a great patriot, and I admire what he's doing here vis-a-vis Twitter. Elon Musk offers to buy 100% of Twitter and restore free speech. Elon Musk has made a public offer to buy 100% of Twitter stock and transform it into a private company in what the billionaire SpaceX and Tesla CEO says will unlock the company's potential to become a platform for free speech around the globe. I like this. Musk, who became Twitter's largest shareholder with a 9.2% purchase of shares over the past few months, which has now been exceeded by another group who wanted to preclude and have over 10% of the stock, made a public offer to buy 100% of the company. at $54.20 a share, an 18% premium over Twitter's closing price yesterday. At Musk's quoted price, the proposed purchase of Twitter would come to $43 billion in total. In this publicly disclosed communication of the chairman of Twitter's board, which can be read in full, Musk said promoting free speech around the world was the motivation behind his offer. Musk said he did not believe Twitter could reach its potential for free speech as a publicly owned company, saying Twitter needs to be transformed into a private one. Here's a message he sent. Brent Taylor, chairman of the board. I invested in Twitter as I believe in its potential to be a platform for free speech around the globe, and I believe free speech is a societal imperative for a functioning democracy, about which there is no doubt. This is why the massive censorship being imposed by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram is detrimental to democracy. The public cannot take collective decision-making as via the democratic process if it's not properly informed as to the situation we're in. As Sir Karl Popper has emphasized, rational debate is the single most important instrument for discovering the truth. But debate requires both sides having the opportunity to be heard. By means of the censorship, the rational debate essential to the discovery of truth is being precluded and the public is being left uninformed, given only one side of the picture, using a method that's known in informal fallacies as special pleading, or, in other words, selection and elimination. Select the evidence that supports your predetermined point of view and eliminate the rest. It's outrageous. The United States cannot function with a free and open public discussion in the press. However, since making my investment, I now realize a company will neither thrive nor serve the societal imperative in its current form. Twitter needs to be transformed into a private company. As a result, I'm offering to buy 100% of Twitter for $54.20 per share in cash, a 54% premium over the day before I began investing in Twitter, and a 38% premium over the day before my investment was publicly announced. My offer is my best and final offer, and if it is not accepted, I would need to reconsider my position as a shareholder. Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. Signed, Elon Musk. Twitter previously offered Musk a seat on Twitter's board in return for a guarantee the billionaire would not buy more than 14.9% of shares in the company. 15% is a crucial threshold that gives shareholders more legal rights in some jurisdictions. On March 25th, Elon Musk conducted a poll on Twitter asking followers if they believed the platform rigorously adhered to the principles of free speech, which he said was essential to a functioning democracy. Here is the result of the poll. Over 2 million Twitter users voted in the poll, 70% saying they did not believe the platform adhered to free speech. Prominent conservatives also responded to the poll by urging Musk to buy the platform. SEC filings show that at the time of the poll, Musk had already purchased his 9.2% share in Twitter. The billionaires acquired his shares beginning in January and reaching more than 9% on 14 March, 11 days before his Twitter poll. Meanwhile, Twitter board approves poison pill after Musk's $43 billion offer to buy the company. They're fighting back. And by the way, let me observe, a key owner of Twitter turns out to be a Saudi Arabian prince. So how the hell does a Saudi Arabian prince have the right to determine what Americans can and cannot say to one another, what they can and cannot read? How does a Saudi Arabian prince have the right to interfere with the exercise of free speech? This is just outrageous, but yet we've seen it going on not only with YouTube, with Facebook, with Twitter, with Instagram, but with Amazon.com, which has been banning books now. Six of my books have been banned by Amazon.com. That's depriving the American people of the right to access the content of those books, which expose Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing to be frauds. Just think about it. Clearly, Amazon is operating, in my opinion, as an agent of the state in suppressing this information that refutes the official narratives they're trying to sell to the public. Twitter's board of directors has approved a provision aimed at preventing a hostile takeover known in the financial world as a poison pill, the company announced April 15th. The board unanimously chose to adopt a limited duration shareholder rights plan after an unsolicited, non-binding proposal to acquire Twitter. Elon Musk, the founder and CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, offered to purchase a California-based firm for around $43 billion this week, shortly after buying nearly 10% of the company. Under the approved provision, if any entity, person, or group acquires 15% or more of Twitter's outstanding stock in a transaction not approved by the board, other stockholders will be able to buy additional shares of common stock at a lower price. The shareholder plan will reduce the likelihood that any entity, person, or group gains control of Twitter through open market accumulation without paying all shareholders an appropriate control premium or withhold, without providing the board sufficient time to make informed judgment and take actions that are in the best interests of shareholders. The poison pill method has been approved by other companies in the past to dilute outstanding stock and make a hostile takeover more financially challenging for the potential acquirer. More details of the plan will be outlined in a form that Twitter will file with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The board includes Brett Taylor, CEO of Salesforce, Parag Agrawal, Twitter CEO, Jack Dorsey, Twitter's co-founder, and Mimi Alahoyo, a senior vice president at MasterCard. Mark Meckler, former acting CEO of Parler, a Twitter competitor, told NTD that whether or not Twitter's actions works depends on whether people take advantage of it. Musk had said on Twitter, responding to a rumor the company was considering implementing such a provision, that the move could expose the board to a titanic amount of liability because they would be breaching their fiduciary duty. Indeed, Adam Kahu, a law professor at Michigan State University, told the Epoch Times before the decision was announced that the board could face legal consequences if they turned down an offer that's financially lucrative to shareholders. Twitter is owned by shareholders, and the directors have to act in a way that's in their best interest, not in the way that allows them to keep control of the corporation. If they turn down a very favorable price, there will be dereliction of their legal duty, and there could be lots of legal ramifications. That's where it stands as late. Meanwhile, all kinds of developments in terms of political, domestic politics are compromising the Democrats in relation to the midterm election, but where I believe they're going to declare a new virus, they're going to impose a lockdown, they're going to require all mail-in balloting so that they can steal the election once again. Get this. A neighborhood in Southern California is so dangerous, the U.S. Post Office is stopping deliveries. The U.S. Postal Service has declared one neighborhood in Santa Monica, California. By the way, that's very upscale. Santa Monica. Most Hollywood residents reside in Santa Monica. I've been in Santa Monica many times. To be too dangerous to continue delivering mail to residents, so they are cutting service immediately. Yes, you read that correctly. California crime is now so bad in some areas that mail carriers refuse to even deliver letters or packages. This is especially wild considering Santa Monica is one of the richest areas of California. It's not in the hood. It should be no surprise, but many are shocked at the announcement. In the video, Fox Business talks with Larry Elder, who ran against Governor Gavin Newsom in last year's recall election. He argues the soft-on-crime attitude of California's leftist leaders is the real cause of the problem. Rather than Biden's gun control efforts, the actual concern is that California is arresting people who break the law. But then George Soros-backed liberal attorney generals are letting them out of jail or only asking for very light sentences. No consequences for crime leaves criminals feeling emboldened. The lack of consequences in the state is leading to widespread crime, especially theft and retail shoplifting, with no real answer to stop it. The end of mail delivery is just one of many areas where fallout will hurt those who are law-abiding citizens. There are several other ways the state's residents are hurt as well, from more taxpayer dollars for failing program to real estate prices and more. There is a lot about this out there. Meanwhile, incredible must-watch video of Capitol Police allowing protesters enter the Capitol side door. Further proof, the whole January 6th event was contrived in order to smear Trump and his supporters and invoke this obscure provision of the 14th Amendment that anyone who participates in an insurrection against the United States cannot run for federal office. Incredible new video has emerged of police officers allowing protesters into the Upper West Terrace doors of the United States Capitol on January 6th. A source exclusively released this footage to the Gateway Pundit. It's a tightly edited video meant to be presented in court to defend two men currently facing felony charges for obstruction of and official proceedings on January 6th. This video was originally obtained from the U.S. Department of Justice after the media joined a motion to have it released. It has gone largely under the radar until it was put into context by our source, who carefully edited the video so the average viewer can understand what is going on. In the video, we see the same scene from two different vantage points side by side of the interior house cameras of the U.S. Capitol. Both were facing the same door on the Upper West Terrace from opposite directions. The identical time codes of the videos can be seen in the upper left corners. The videos show police behaving like museum staff security guards as they stand or walk idly by as unknowing men and women walk through a small set of Capitol doors carrying American flags and Trump signs. Many are innocently occupied by taking selfie videos of themselves and the crowd, apparently excited to be inside the people's house and wanting to commemorate the occasion. They are oblivious to the political persecution, shame, and witch hunters that will come for them later, or they surely would have made a 360 out of there and turned the cameras off. Here we have the video. You'll be able to hear parts of it. I'll relate others.
The following footage was obtained from the United States Department of Justice. It contains surveillance video of the Upper West Terrace doors of the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. Just after 2:33 p.m., police officers allow five individuals to exit the Capitol through the Upper West Terrace doors. At 2:34 p.m., a gentleman holding an American flag catches the door just as the last protester leaves. He turns to the crowd outside and waves towards the door. At the same time at 2:34 p.m., a gentleman with a red cap approaches the interior doors. As the police officer notices him, he continues to approach. The police officer holds the door for the protester as he enters the Capitol undeterred. At 2:35 p.m., a large group enters the interior of the Capitol, police standing at the doors. As a steady stream of protesters enter through the Upper West Terrace doors, they can see police officers standing at the interior doors, allowing people to pass. Around 250 protesters entered the Upper West Terrace doors that day, many of which are charged with felony obstruction for entering a building undiscouraged. At 2:36 p.m., a police officer walks towards the exit against the flow of protesters. He then turns around and begins walking with the protesters. He turned his back to them and never took a posture that was defensive or that would indicate that he feared being harmed. At 2:36:54, the police allow the crowd to pass. At 2:38 p.m., a woman with a sock hat and a camera with a sound recording device attached to it films police as they allow people to enter. A steady stream of individuals pass by police as they stand aside without deterring protesters for several minutes. At 2:40 p.m., police stop the protesters to speak to them again. At 2:44 p.m., a police officer in the bottom of the screen can be seen speaking to the officers in front of them and pulling them away, indicating to the crowd that they are allowed to enter. The officers then turn their backs to the crowd, which indicate that they did not possess fear of the protesters. The officers then escort the crowd into the interior of the Capitol. At 2:47 p.m., police wearing yellow gear close the doors. Police presence then increases and no more individuals enter through the Upper West Terrace doors.
This is Jim Fetzer returning to the fray. We have the unusual situation here then where there's a massive evidence that the January 6th was completely contrived. We even have the top Biden pollster issuing a dire warning that pissed Americans don't feel the Democrats can get their shit together. Says Democrats are facing a bloodbath in the midterm elections. I have no doubt. John Ezzalone served as chief poller for Joe Biden during the 2020 presidential campaign, as well as for the presidential campaigns of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Ezzalone has done polling for numerous other Democrats, such as North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Senators Kristen Sinema from Arizona. However, Ezzalone was critical of Democrats in a recent podcast where he voiced fear the Democrats would be wiped out in the 2022 midterm election. In a recent episode of Politico's Playbook Deep Dive released on Friday, Ezzalone warned that Americans are pissed. The political strategist is extremely concerned that Democrats could be obliterated in the midterm, where they'll need to compete just to not get their asses kicked. Host Ryan Lizza asked Ezzalone, let's just start off with how they had things for Democrats this year and what can they do about it. Most Americans are pissed at the fact that they pay their fair share in taxes as middle-class people. The top Biden pollster expressed, they work hard. They want to see the benefits of the economy. He said that workers are getting pay increases. However, he acknowledged that the record inflation is eating it up. Ezzalone asserted that voters are also pissed about big companies not paying any taxes. He then commended President Biden's proposed tax hike on Americans making more than $400,000. As a solution for Democrats to try to not get totally destroyed in the midterm elections, Ezzalone proposed Democrats should focus on doing something about health insurance costs, prescription drug costs, elderly care, and child care. He speculated if Democrats can show that they're helping working families, it will enable them to contend with several issues that are dragging down President Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, such as inflation, the invasion of Ukraine, the border crisis, and the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. Ezzalone recommended Democrats push a pro-union approach in areas that have a union culture. We'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Radio. Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Here's the bottom line. This former advisor to Biden and other prominent Democrats said, the party needs to do much better with male voters of all races, as well as college-educated men. The pollster said he's deeply concerned about male Latinos leaving the Democrat Party to vote for Republicans. He advised Democrats to stop talking to Latinos about immigration and to focus their message on the economy, inflation, health care, or schools. Hal Zone suggested that Dems zero in on things like housing and crime when trying to woo Latino and black voters. MSNBC opinion columnist Michael Cohen is also warning Democrats that they are facing a bloodbath in the midterm elections. Citing record inflation, Cohen stated, is precisely the kind of news that will compound the Democrats' political woes in November, which already look dire. Cohen felt there was little the Democrats could do to prevent a demoralizing defeat in November. Rather than fight the prevailing political winds, Democrats would be better off acknowledging the reality that the midterm elections are going to be a bloodbath and focus instead on accomplishing as much as possible before then, the politics be damned, Cohen advocated. With a political situation looking increasingly bleak, Democrats have only one real option, pass their agenda. In order to do as much damage as they can possibly do before they're wiped off the map by the voters, except that I have not the least doubt that they're going to continue to steal election just as they have in the past. But this new, stunningly revealing 2000 Mules documentary is about to hit the theaters across the nation. It is narrated by Dinesh D'Souza, who's a very smart guy. They have, my God, a staggering amount of video, because the Democrats, using Zuckbox, hired all of these ballot stuffers to use the drop boxes, but in order to collect to be paid, they had to take selfies of themselves. So they have, like, selfies of 2,000 Democrat operatives being paid by Mark Zuckerberg stuffing ballot boxes at Dropbox, which is why the Democrats have been so insistent that they need to have the Voting Rights Act passed. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, if you thought it was dirty pool, even involving the Department of Defense, that COVID-19 might even have originated on the other side of the globe than Wuhan, get this. U.S. Department of Defense granted a COVID-19 research in Ukraine 3 months before the infectious disease was known to even exist. In other words, they gave a grant for research on COVID-19 before COVID-19 had even been identified or named as COVID-19. How's that? Another piece is added to the mosaic that now undoubtedly proves the artificial origin of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. In recent days, we have published an interview in which the president of the Italian Medicines Agency, Dr. Giorgio Palu, in his capacity as an eminent virologist of international fame, openly confirmed this suspicion, already revealed with certainty by authoritative biologists and intelligence experts, based on an unexplained 19 nucleotide identity of the COVID-19 pathogen with a human gene built in the laboratory by Moderna Big Pharma in 2016. This is not something that would happen by chance. Now, here is an investigation brought to light by the Daily Exposé, in which it's even discovered that the notorious biolabs of Ukraine opened with funding from the Department of Defense in 2012. The Pentagon itself sponsored research into COVID-19 infection 3 months before it was officially named COVID-19. Here we have reports. It's very extensive. You can find it on my blog at jamesfetcher.org. It should, in fact, be remembered that in the case of SARS of 2003 and MERS of 2012, the same name was used for the virus, SARS-CoV and MERS-CoV, and for the resulting pathology. In the case of the current pandemic, however, a distinction has been made between the pathogen SARS-CoV-2 and the infectious disease caused by, or shall we say, allegedly. This discovery, further evidence of most terrible and ruthless criminal manipulation in the history of humanity, makes the need to certify the laboratory origin of the virus and identify the responsibilities that, as claimed in the Wuhan Gate investigations by Giuseppe News and by the late virologist Luc Montagnier, always led to an affair between the deep states of China and the USA in the New World Order, which bring together Democrats and even some Republicans. We will see more information in the next report, where once again biological laboratories will intervene with SARS-CoV-2 and with the technological bacteriological weapons developed by the Pentagon since 2000 during the Bush administration. I just say, it seems to me, this is one more reason why Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine is good for all of humanity and for citizens of the United States, notwithstanding the constant propagandistic downbeat, demonizing him and characterizing Ukraine as our partners when Ukraine is perhaps the most corrupt nation in the world. But then again, stop and think about it. Given the corruption in Washington, D.C., maybe they really are our partners in corruption. Here's from the Daily Exposé. The world first started to hear about a novel coronavirus in early January 2020 with reports of an alleged new pneumonia-like illness spreading across Wuhan, China. However, the world didn't actually know COVID-19 until February 2020 because it was not until the 11th of that month that the World Health Organization officially named the novel coronavirus disease as COVID-19. So with this being the official truth, why does the United States government data show that the Department of Defense awarded a contract on the 12th of November 2019 to Labyrinth Global Health Incorporated for COVID-19 research at least 1 month before the alleged emergence of the novel coronavirus and 3 months before it was officially dubbed COVID-19 by the World Health Organization? The shocking findings, however, do not end there. The contract awarded in November 2019 for COVID-19 research was not only instructed to take place in Ukraine, it was in fact part of a much larger contract for a biological threat reduction program in Ukraine. Perhaps explain why Labyrinth Global Health has been collaborating with Peter Dusak's Eco Health Alliance and Ernest Wolf's Metabiota since its formation in 2017. The government of the United States has a website called USA Spending, an official open data source of federal spending information. According to the site, as of 12 April 2021, the U.S. government has spent a mind-blowing $3.63 trillion in response to COVID-19. But that's not the only information on COVID that can be found within the site. Hidden within the award search are details on a contract awarded by the Department of Defense to a company named Black & Veatch Special Projects Corporation, which is allegedly a global engineering, procurement, consulting, and construction company specializing in infrastructure development. The contract was awarded on September 20th, 2012, and is described as professional, scientific, and technical services. Obviously, this is very vague and most likely of little interest to anyone who happens to stumble across it, but there's something contained deep within the details that should interest anyone and everyone. The award history for the contract contains a tab for subawards, detailing the recipient's action date, amount, and very brief description for 115 sub-award transactions. Most of the sub-awards are extremely mundane for things like laboratory equipment for Kiev, office furniture for Kiev, and the like. But there is one sub-award that stands out among the rest, awarded to Labyrinth Global Health Incorporated for SME manuscript documentation and COVID-19 research. An award for COVID-19 research isn't exactly shocking when the world is allegedly in the grip of a COVID-19 pandemic, but considering the fact the subcontract was awarded on the 12th of November 2019, at least 1 month before the alleged emergence of the novel coronavirus, and 3 months before it was officially dubbed COVID-19, the award for COVID-19 research should come as a shock to everyone. The contract details found on the USA Spending site actually reveals that the specific DOD department that awarded the contract was a Defense Threat Reduction Agency. The contract was awarded 20 September 2012 and concluded on 13 October 2020. While the details are vague, the U.S. government site also reveals that 21.7 million of the 116.6 million contract was spent on biological threat reduction program in Ukraine. So, why did the Department of Defense pay a company that is allegedly a global engineering, procurement, consulting, and construction company specializing in infrastructure development to help implement a biological threat reduction program in Ukraine? And why did both the DOD and said company then pay Labyrinth Global Health to carry out COVID-19 research in Ukraine at least a month before the alleged emergence of the novel coronavirus and 3 months before it was officially dubbed COVID-19. Founded in 2017, Rabbalinth Global Health is allegedly a woman-owned small business with deep expertise and proven track record supporting initiatives for scientific and medical advancement. They describe themselves as a multicultural and international organization with offices in 4 countries and a team of experts with diverse backgrounds and competencies, including microbiology, virology, global health, emerging infectious disease nursing, medical anthropology, field epidemiology, clinical research, and health information systems. One of these offices just happens to be located in Kiev, Ukraine, which a company calls a gateway to Eastern Europe. The leadership team consists of Karen Gaylors, PhD, Chief Executive Officer, Mary Gutierrez, PhS, Chief Science Officer, and Marut Tartan, who is the Chief Financial Officer. Read more. The details are simply overwhelming, even staggering. Meanwhile, we have a really, in my opinion, positive development out of the UK. London's giant Holocaust memorial blocked by the High Court. The giant Holocaust memorial was planned for a site near Westminster Abbey in the Houses of Parliament, but the High Court has now quashed the proposal. It was an obscenity, in my opinion. Here we have the story. This afternoon, and I believe this was last Friday, plans for a giant Holocaust memorial close to Westminster Abbey in the Houses of Parliament were blocked by a High Court judgment that's quashed planning permission for the project. Regular readers will know that in 2019, H&D's assistant editor, Peter Rushton, submitted a detailed and fully documented memorandum to the initial planning inquiry into this grotesque project. Quoting from official British archives, he revealed that when such a memorial was first planned in the 1980s, it had been denounced by senior ministers and officials. Then Foreign Secretary Lord Carrington, who had won the Military Cross for his bravery during World War II, wrote, "The whole idea is preposterous." Other senior officials had written that the project seemed to be part of an Israeli propaganda drive. That inquiry by Westminster City Council's planning committee ruled against the memorial, but was overturned when the British government appointed a planning inspector, reporting to a government minister who ruled the project should go ahead. Now the High Court in London has quashed that ministerial decision. This means that unless there's a further appeal, the memorial will not go ahead. And if you look at a photograph of the wonderful space there, the green space near Parliament, it's just outrageous that this was proposed in the beginning. In the first place, this is a great victory for all campaigners who, like ourselves, submitted objections during the original planning process. Most objections focused on the damage that would be done to one of the central London's few remaining parks. This preservation of green space is, of course, an important issue, but we hope the defeat of this shocking proposal will cause Britons to reflect on why they should tolerate a politically motivated minority imposing their special version of history. In 2018, Peter Rushton of H&D and Lady Michelle Renoir of Telling Firms Films made a video with the late Richard Edmonds denouncing the proposed wrecking of Victoria Tower Gardens by this grotesque memorial. There's even a video that goes along with it. As we reported yesterday, H&D will soon be launching a special website section devoted to real history and the true Europe, where we will resist political correctness and present fully documented analyses of historical controversies as well as a defense of Europe's true culture. I like that. Any who are curious about my own research into this matter can find two sources, one online. My article entitled The Holocaust Narrative, Politics Trumps Science, or if you go to my blog, jamesfetzer.org, go to jimtheconspiracyguy.com, the 65 shows, and scroll down and you'll find an hour plus long presentation on the history of World War II, a version seeking to get it right. So there are two resources. There's a video you can find at jamesfetzer.org. Go to Jim the Conspiracy Guy, the 65 shows, and scroll down to the discussion of the history of World War II for the video, or do a search online, and it's on my blog, but also elsewhere, for the Holocaust Narrative, Politics Trumps Science. You want to have a firm understanding of what's going on here, because a Jewish political clout is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust, which is why they are adamant about emphasizing going all out to attack anyone who challenges the fable. It's basically a myth. It's made up story. And I explain why, how it was done, even giving you an interview with a former Israeli minister of education with Amy Goodman explaining that it's a trick. That when Israel is criticized in Europe, they bring up the Holocaust. And when Israel is criticized in the United States, they declare the parties to be anti-Semitic. But she admits it's a trick. And when you look at the falsification of history it entailed, you'll understand exactly what she's talking about. The last week has been a bad one for those who seek to impose an officially and legally protected version of history. First, the leading founder and promoter of Holocaust history, oligarch Moshe Kantor, was subjected to sanctions because his role as facilitator and propagandist for Vladimir Putin. And then the proposal for a giant Holocaust memorial in Westminster, was defeated. The task now is to roll back the tide of propaganda and oppressive laws that swept over Europe in recent years. Keep reading this website to find out more as a campaign for real history and the true Europe takes off. I like that. Very significant. Glenn Greenwald has tweeted, "Yesterday was a flagship day in corporate media. It was a day they were forced to explicitly state what has long been clear. They not only favor censorship, but desperately crave and depend upon it. Even if Musk doesn't buy Twitter, never forget what yesterday revealed." Meanwhile, let me mention my course on Everything You Wanted to Know About Conspiracy Theories But Were Afraid to Ask is well underway. This is Conspiracy 101, Critical Thinking and Conspiracy Theories, where it's a 15-week course, 1 hour a week, Wednesday evening, 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time. It's done by video, the class presentations, which are then archived to be available to everyone who's registered for the course. The course materials are all provided as part of the course. You can register, which is still open, at mixandstream.com/critical-thinking.html. I repeat, mix, M-I-X, capital N, stream.com/critical-thinking.html. I have 40 who are enrolled in the course. 40 who are enrolled in the course. I want to add further now. Later developments also take calls now. So the line is open at 540-340-352-4452. Now, the syllabus, just to repeat, six April, Wednesday, Introduction to the Nature of Thought, Signs, and Minds. 13 April, Studying Language, Syntax, Semantics, and Pragmatics. Those are the two classes that have been held but are available on video. 20 April, Arguments, Deductive, Inductive, and Abductive. 27 April, Informal Fallacies, Part 1, Fallacies of Ambiguity, Form A, Informal Fallacies, Part 2, Fallacies of Relevance. 11 May, A Blind Scientific Reasoning to Conspiracy Theories. 18 May, The Assassination of JFK, The Use of Fabricated Evidence. 25 May, The Atrocities of 9/11, Violating the Laws of Physics. 1 June, The Moon Landings, How We Know We Didn't Go. 8 June, Senator Paul Wellstone, Accident or Assassination. 15 June, Sandy Hook, Designing Events for Emotional Impact. 22 June, Nice, Orlando, Parkland, Charlotte, Las Vegas. 29 June, Pizzagate, Is It Myth or Is It Real? Disturbing to the max. 6 July, The Pandemic and the Vax, The Greatest Hoax of All. 13 July, The Official History of World War II, Politics, Trump, Science. Registration is open now. We have 40 enrolled members of the class. Go to mixandstream.com/critical-thinking.html or go to my blog and check out Conspiracy 101, Critical Thinking and Scientific Reasoning. Meanwhile, as I say, the lines are open, 540-352-4452. Please do call. Please do call. Please do call. We'll continue the conversation after the break, which is coming. Check out the latest news. It's fairly stunning what's taking place. I really wish I could have more positive reports about what's taking place in relation to Ukraine. But my suspicion is that we are on the verge of World War III. The fact that the West is abusing its position by providing weapons to Ukraine is going to be the undoing of it all, I'm very, very sorry to say. We also have report from Natural News that a fertilizer giant, rail carriers are now halting fertilizer shipments. This is very, very serious. Very, very serious. We'll be right back after the break taking your calls.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Oh,
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have events going on in the Senate wanting to prosecute Russia for war crimes, but the war crimes appear to be committed by the Azov Battalion of the Ukrainian Army. Here we have a solicitation for those who'd like to interview persons to discuss this, whom I'm sorry to say appear to me to be uninformed about the realities on the ground in Ukraine. U.S. Senate. Prosecute Russia war crimes, not ours. Marjorie Cohn, a professor emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law, former president of the National Lawyers Guild. She just wrote a piece, after undermining international criminal court, U.S. now wants it to charge Russians, which states, although the United States has tried mightily to undermine the International Criminal Court since it became operational in 2002, the U.S. government is now pushing for the ICC to prosecute Russian leaders for war crimes in Ukraine. Apparently, Washington thinks the ICC is reasonable enough to try Russians, but not to bring U.S. or Israeli officials to justice. On March 15th, the Senate unanimously passed Senate Resolution 546, which encourages member states to petition the ICC or other appropriate international tribunal to take appropriate steps to investigate war crimes and crimes against humanity committed by the Russian armed forces. When he introduced the resolution, Senator Lindsey Graham, surprise, surprise, Republican of South Carolina, said, "This is a proper exercise of jurisdiction. This is what the court was created for." The United States has refused to join the ICC and consistently tries to undermine the court. Yet, a unanimous U.S. Senate voted to utilize the ICC in the Ukraine conflict. Cohn's piece explains how limitations on the ICC put in place by France, Britain, and other countries, foreclose the possibility of the ICC actually prosecuting Russian officials for the crime of aggression. She concludes, U.S. hypocrisy is no more apparent than in the first whereas clause of the Senate's unanimous resolution condemning Russia. It says, whereas the United States of America is a beacon for the values of freedom, democracy, and human rights across the globe. 100 members of the U.S. Senate affirmed that sentiment in spite of the U.S. wars of aggression in Yugoslavia, Iraq, Afghanistan, and the commission of U.S. war crimes. Good for her. She's spot on. She's got it exactly right. First time I encountered this, but I think that's very significant. Meanwhile, we have from Natural News more proof of the ongoing effort to bring about food shortages and thereby mass starvation to affect the world's population. Listen to this. Emergency alert. On the heels of rail carriers canceling grain shipments, CF Industry warns that fertilizer rail shipments are now being halted during spring planting, just when they are most needed. Natural News. As you may recall, 10 days ago, I warned rail carriers were declaring force majeure and halting shipments of grain to dairy herds and other cow herds across America. In that announcement, I also warned that this was an engineered collapse of the food supply, where rail carriers were essentially being ordered to drop certain loads in order to maximize the coming wave of food scarcity and famine. Now, devastating news from CF Industries, one of the largest fertilizer producers in the world, confirm the engineered food collapse plan is being expanded to include fertilizer shipments. According to an April 14th announcement from CF Industries, Union Pacific is halting the delivery of fertilizer shipments right in the middle of peak planting season for farmers. CF Industry warns that railroad-mandated shipping reductions will result in nitrogen fertilizer shipment delays during the spring application season, and that will be unable to accept new rail sales involving Union Pacific for the foreseeable future. This just shows you the kind of clout the Rothschild banking empire exercises. When you have unlimited financial resources, you can bring about virtually any outcome you like, even if it's mass starvation and genocide on a staggering scale to depopulate most of the world's 8 billion population to reduce it to on the order of 1. That's getting rid of 7 billion human beings from planet Earth. Even more alarmingly, CF Industry warns it's one of only 30 companies to face these restrictions. This means the Union Pacific is essentially dropping fertilizer shipments and grain shipments all across America. Put another way, America's food infrastructure is being deliberately shut down. The implications of this are nothing short of catastrophic. It affects not just fertilizer, but also DEF, diesel exhaust fluid, which is necessary for all tractors, transportation trucks, construction equipment, and other machinery that use diesel engines, as CF Industries explains. CF Industries ships to customers via Union Pacific rail lines, primarily from its Donaldsville complex in Louisiana and its Port Neal complex in Iowa. The rail lines serve key agricultural areas such as Iowa, Illinois, Kansas, Nebraska, Texas, and California. Products that will be affected include nitrogen fertilizers such as urea and urea aluminum nitrate, as well as diesel exhaust fluid, an emissions control product required for diesel trucks. CF Industries is the largest producers of urea, UAN, and DEF in North America. And its Donaldson complex is the largest single production facility for the products in North America. Without DEF, you can't run tractors. And as to the Green New Deal lunatics who think that halting all diesel will magically make the world green, while they absurdly try to suck all the CO2 out of the atmosphere, which will kill all plants, by the way, you're about to experience the starvation, chaos, and violence that comes from shutting down agriculture. Good luck to all. Meanwhile, here's more. Spring crops will fail across North America if they don't get nitrogen. This engineered halting of fertilizer shipments appears to be timed to severely disrupt spring planting across North America. This is consistent with what we have all observed with Joe Biden's deliberate shutdown of America's energy infrastructure, which began on day one of Biden's fake presidency, where he signaled a stack of executive orders shutting down energy pipelines. From that very first day, Joe Biden and his handlers, Obama particularly, have been meticulously deconstructing America's food and energy infrastructure, causing shortages and price inflation. Yet as prices and scarcity both continue to worsen, Gene Psaki says it's all Putin's fault as a convenient cover story. The truth is that fake President Joe Biden is trying to plunge America into mass starvation, food riots, and chaos. The shutting down of energy, food, and fertilizer transportation is just one small part of this nefarious plan. CF Industries President Tony Will reveals how fertilizer is being selectively targeted. The timing of this action by Union Pacific could not come at a worse time for farmers, said Tony Will, President and Chief Executive Officer, CF Industries Holdings Incorporated. Not only will fertilizer be delayed by these shipping restrictions, but additional fertilizer needed to complete swing application may be unable to reach farmers at all. By placing this arbitrary restriction on just a handful of shippers, Union Pacific is jeopardizing farmers' harvests and increasing the cost of food to consumers. In the understatement of the year, CF Industry also points out that without nitrogen, fertilizer crop yields will be lower, saying, quote, "The application of nitrogen fertilizer is critical to maintaining crop yields. If farmers are unable to secure all the nitrogen fertilizer that they require in the current season because of supply chain disruptions, such as real shipping restrictions, the company expects yield will be lower. This will likely extend the timeline to replenish global grain stocks. In truth, without nitrogen fertilizer, crop yields will be nothing short of catastrophic. Perhaps that's why China has been buying up all the grain supplies around the world, stockpiling like mad in anticipation of a global food collapse that's being engineered. A perfect storm of black swan events spell food doom on a global scale. If 2021 was a COVID chapter of global collapse, 2022 to 2023 is going to be the famine chapter. A convergence of black swan events is spelling out the absolute certainty of global food scarcity and mass famine. Some of those events include the unleashing of economic sanctions against Russia, halting Russia's ability to export fertilizer and food crops, such as wheat. The grand solar minimum sun cycle is producing lower levels of solar radiation that will reach the surface of Earth for the next several years, leading to global crop failure and historically the fall of nations and empires. Unbounded money printing by the Federal Reserve leading to rapid devaluation, collapse of the value of the dollar versus food. Skyrocketing food inflation, which the UN's FAQ now puts at 12.6% month after month, means food prices will double every 6 months at the rate of inflation. U.S. government programs that are paying farmers to destroy crops, deliberately contributing to food scarcity. Skyrocketing diesel fuel prices, which raise the cost of inputs for farming because farms run on diesel equipment. Transportation of crops is also carried out by diesel trucks. Climate change lunatics are trying to remove CO2 from the atmosphere, which will starve food crops and devastate global yields. Since CO2 is a key nutrient that plants need to grow even more than they need nitrogen. The upshot of all this is abundantly clear. Accelerating food inflation. Food prices will, without question, double by the end of 2022 and may actually go much higher. Food prices will almost certainly double again in 2023. As food prices skyrocket, food riots will break out worldwide. This has already begun in Sri Lanka, Peru, and other nations and will only spread globally. Later in 2022, food riots will break out in the USA, first appearing in Democrat-run blue cities and then spreading. In 2023, We are certain to see food rioting, food rationing, and price controls both demanded and enforced by governments around the world, including the U.S. Widespread food insecurity will lead to global uprisings and revolutions. Nations will fall. Sri Lanka is already in default on its dollar bonds and facing the toppling of its political leadership, and we're not even out of April yet. In response to the arriving chaos, governments will declare national emergencies and roll out police state controls to try to control the masses. China's brutal lockdown of 25 million in Shanghai is an early preview of things to come on a global scale. Most importantly, people who do not have alternative sources of food will likely starve. This means you either need to store food or learn how to grow food. Ideally, you'll have capabilities in both categories. This is what's going to keep you alive. I understand there are some people who, when faced with this bad news, resort to saying things like, I can't handle any more bad news. I choose to pretend that the food supply will be fine. For those, I would beg you to reconsider your stance, because you can't pretend to be not starving when you are starving. The food scarcity will shock people back to reality if they've been living in a delusional dream world. There's no such thing as trans-starvationism, just as there's no such thing as transgenderism. You can't actually change your gender, and you can't actually live without eating. Anyone who chooses to ignore this engineered food collapse will likely starve. God, I think that of all the reports Mike Adams has done, this one is spot on. And while he may have a reputation for being a gloom and doom guy, I'm telling you, I think that's exactly right. Get this, too. Now they're killing our sources of protein. Here's a brand new food sabotage. Gentlemen, they've killed 1 million turkeys here in South Dakota alone, claiming avian flu by using the same fake tests they use for COVID. The same thing is going on with chickens and eggs. Here's a video to watch. Listen to this.
Aesthetic in the attic. First off, almost every week I see a new article about a new invasive species of one or another in America. And this is happening so often, it really begs the question, are these being released on purpose? I mean, where are these coming from? We've managed to make it the last couple hundred years in this country of pretty much the same old bass, catfish, bluegill, you know, the usual fish without all of these invasive species coming in and taking over. And now there's an article every week about these. So seriously, this looks like not only are conventional food supply and growing methods are being sabotaged, but also the wild growing plants and animals. Now, just for instance, here are two separate fish that I'm about to show you, both in the Hudson River. The round gob, they say, is literally one of the biggest threats to New York waters. And they're going as far as setting up electric field barriers, air bubblers, double draining. So that's going to disrupt the migration of any fish. But the round gobby consumes most of the available food before the native fish can eat it. So one, they are starving out the fish. A lot of similarities to what's going on land. And two, they eat the native fish and their eggs and transmit botulism to water birds. And the second one is a fish from Asia that can live on land for days and uses its sharp teeth to eat animals. Seriously, what the hell? This is a predator fish that goes up on land and hides and eats small animals. Now, it's not specific about what animals, but, I mean, think about the smallest animals you can. That would be mice and chipmunks. I mean, that's a pretty big meal for a little fish. On top of that, this is the northern snakehead. It has the potential to reduce or even eliminate native fish populations. and they say this was from aquarium dumping or fish market. Anyway, is there a secret black market for doomsday fish that I don't know about or something? Because this is two separate species showing up in the same area at the same time that both have the potential to knock out native fish populations. And this little son of a bitch hides in the bushes and eats small animals. I've never heard of a fish that does such a thing. It really seems like I'd have seen a David Attenborough special about the hunting fish if this was just a natural fish that has been in Asia for a long time. Just saying. Okay, so the invasive jumping worm, already in 14 Midwest states. These little meadow worms grow twice as fast, reproduce more quickly, and can infest soils at high densities. They don't say it in this article, but in another they said that they don't even need a partner. They can reproduce by themselves. In areas of heavy infestation, native plants, soil, invertebrates, salamanders, and birds, and other animals may decline. So nothing to see here. It's just an asexual worm that kills native plants, and if the salamanders or birds eat them, well, why are they dying from eating a worm? This would evidently be the one and only worm that, according to them, through evolution, has produced a toxin that actually kills any animal that eats it. That, or they've been doing some CRISPR editing and releasing these things, and once that's done, there's currently no method of control for the species. Now, guys, we've been breeding crops and animals and trading them back and forth between Europe and the Americas for a minimum of 500 years. Edible foods and vegetables would have been just as high of an interest for, you know, the first people coming back and forth as the gold almost. And in the whole time we've been doing this, we've managed to not bring some crazy species that's going to come over and wipe out all of the native populations for the most part. And now every week we've got some Franken species on the loose here. Large invasive lizards that eat almost anything in Georgia. Palm-sized flying spiders on the East Coast, and at least they're perfectly honest with the 2.4 billion edited mosquitoes that they are releasing. I'm pretty sure that's on the West Coast. It said in Florida, too, just so everybody knows. But these are non-biting mosquitoes that they're releasing, and talk about playing God. They're saying that, no, God, nature, got it wrong. Mosquitoes bad because they, you know, carry disease. So in order to keep everybody safe, we're going to release these. They mate with them and the offspring die. So their plan is to actually just kill all of the mosquitoes. Well, guess what? They're supposed to be mosquitoes. Once again, a lot of fish eat a lot of mosquitoes. There's a balance to nature and everything is supposed to be there. If you completely remove a whole species like mosquitoes, it's going to affect things. So it really seems like fish are under attack. It seems like every food category of meat is under attack. Now they're writing all these articles like explore alternatives to grain corn, a world without fertilizer. They're pre-programming everyone for these shortages. In the chicken industry, they're having a bird flu outbreak of epic proportions. They have slaughtered 27 million chickens. And what they're doing is taking the same faulty PCR test that they used for the toilet paper bug and using it on the birds. And if one false positive comes up, they kill the whole flock. And what's going on here is absolute gangsterism. Now, notice that Arkansas isn't where one of these outbreaks are. You're not going to see any there because Tyson Foods has a pretty much a monopoly on the chickens there. Now, here's the kind of winners that run that place. The The company was sued in 2016 for restricting the supply of chickens and manipulating the prices. With the big corporations for the last 100 years, you know, getting up to the Black Rocks and this and that, all they're worried about is market share. They want every market share of every industry, and that's the point we're getting to. And they not only price gouge the customers out there, but they will also sabotage prices to run the small businesses out of business. And there is a lot of that going on right now. And in everything from farms to housing, there are investment firms that are buying everything up. They're literally going to buy up all of the houses on the market and then rent them back to us. And everybody's heard that Willie G is now the largest farmland owner, and all the billionaires in this company is buying up all the land, 5,800 acres, and they're converting it all to, quote, organic. So then you have people like this 36-year-old John Dooley, a fourth-generation farmer, and now his family has to lease the land back. This is serfdom, guys. I don't know what else to say. We have just reverted back to the 13th century here. You can no longer afford to own your own land and farm it and get by. So this is how they have priced everyone out. And now with the fertilizer going through the roof, a lot more families of farmers that have been doing this for four generations are going to lose their farm.
You can see what's going on here. It's absolutely catastrophic. I wish I could give you rosy, cheery news, but I'm dedicated to informing you the truth as best I can put it together. And the truth, the news is not good. Prepare yourself. Find ways of storing food. I swear the food shortage is coming. If we're not nuked, they're going to try to starve us to death. Would that I could tell you something that would be cheerful, especially the day after Easter, but I'm sorry to say I have nothing cheerful to report. Thank you for being here today. We're going to continue to bring you all the news we possibly can. We have a wonderful guest, Edward Hendry, for the event on Wednesday, and I look forward to seeing you there.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.